Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife Annette and I. You know, today we are answering questions from listeners.
Okay, I'm excited for this, Bill, because we've got a variety of questions here. And to start off, the first one is, why would God create us if he knew that most of us would reject him and go to hell? You know, like Matthew 7 talks about, many are on the broad path to destruction and only a few are on the road, the narrow road.
That's right. That's right. Well, why wouldn't he create us? Because there's many of us that would receive him and go to heaven. And he knew that. And he wanted a family. So why should we, who made a wise decision, suffer and not get to enjoy the presence of Almighty God and be in heaven for all eternity because of those who are foolish? That would not be fair either for us, all the Christians, the millions of Christians that have made the right decision. You know, and it's like this analogy. You wouldn't say that the General Motors or the auto manufacturers, they shouldn't make cars because they know that there's going to be people make foolish decisions and drive drunk and kill people. So since they know people are going to be killed, why should they make cars?
That, good point.
You know, I mean, we get to enjoy the cars. Why should we not enjoy them because of the foolish decisions people make?
Yeah, so why should we be penalized or denied God, you know, time in God's family forever in heaven?
Right. And because God's love, he gives man a free will to choose. It's man's choice. Because love does that, it has to allow a choice. It cannot force you into anything. So he gave man a free will.
Exactly.
And man can choose to reject him or receive him. He laid it before man to make that decision.
And you've done other teachings where we explain how much God is trying to warn man, get through to man all through his life.
Right.
So there's no one in hell who didn't know.
Right. No one there unjustly.
And yes.
There's many teachings we have on that, but just to answer that question briefly.
Okay, that's a good answer. Number two, wouldn't God be the ultimate child abuser, sending his children to hell to burn for eternity?
Well, number one, God doesn't send anybody to hell. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, your own words will condemn you. Because people say, I don't believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Even though he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And he gave the warning in Revelation 21:8, all unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire. So he just said, where you're going to go if you don't believe that he's the only way. But people say, I don't believe that. So that's why he could say, your own words will condemn you. But secondly, the people going to hell are not God's children. That's a misconception. People think everyone's God's child. That's not true. Listen to these verses. Matthew 13:38 says, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. That's Jesus speaking. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You have to have faith in Christ Jesus to be a child of God. John 17:9, Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So he doesn't pray for everyone there. Romans 9:7-8 makes this really clear. Not because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for thy seed. John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. See, there's two fathers. And if you reject Jesus Christ, then the devil is your father. John 1:12, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You have to be a follower of God. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Luke 8:21, Jesus said, my mother and brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And there's many more verses, but that just gives you a flavor.
Well, that's abundantly clear through the scriptures.
Right.
Number three, did God create hell when he created the earth?
No, after the 6 days of creation, he said everything he had made was very good. Now, he wouldn't have said that if hell was created at that time. Now, shortly after that time, Satan rebelled in heaven and was cast down to the earth. And then hell was prepared, as Matthew 25:41 says, not the word created, but it was prepared, or make ready, make secure, is what it says in the Strong's. So, you see, he prepared hell for the devil, and that was done after, shortly after creation. So it was not intentionally, it wasn't the intent in the beginning to have hell. You know, he made man in the Garden of Eden and wanted him to live forever with him. But man rebelled and sinned, and Satan sinned, cast down to the earth, and then hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now man goes to the same place as the devil because there's no other place created for him to go. If he rejects Jesus Christ, then he will be also in hell, as Matthew 25:41 and 46 explain.
So he prepared hell just as he prepared heaven for us.
Right. John 14:2, he says he goes to prepare a place for us in heaven. Same word, prepare. So he prepared heaven for us, hell for the devil. And now man goes there if he rejects the only way to heaven.
So it's important to look at Genesis and see that God said everything he made was very, very good. It was all good. So that's a good thing for us to remember, because in the creation, God did not make cancer or disease or all these things that he did not create.
Exactly.
So it was part of the fall and part of the curse.
Exactly.
I like what Jesus said in John 10:10. You know, if it steals, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we know if it does any of those things in our lives, it's not from him.
That's right.
Not from God.
That's right.
Okay, number four. Why doesn't God just give everyone a vision of hell so they can be saved?
Because we're saved by faith through grace, by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. So there's no faith required in seeing hell. There would be no faith required. We have to accept him and receive him by faith. So that would go against the scripture, and he will not change or alter what's gone out of his mouth. And he'll give people a vision or dream that's a Christian. There's many that have seen a glimpse of hell or heaven. And even some people that are atheists on their deathbed, they were dying, slipping out of their body, but they hadn't died yet, and they were on their way to hell. So they got a glimpse of it and were terrified, and then repented and received Jesus. But no, that's not the way people get saved. We're saved by faith.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, they were given a glimpse of hell because it was a near-death experience or a clinical death, not a vision. They weren't given a vision of hell. Yours was a vision of hell, and you were saved. You were a Christian at the time.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and number five, is there anybody in hell or anybody in the Bible who experienced hell?
Yes, there are two. Luke 16, the rich man Jesus talked about, he was in torment in the flames. He was aware he did not want his five brothers to come there. He knew they needed to repent. He wanted to have Lazarus sent back to warn them, and so forth. So there's the rich man in hell. And also in Jonah 2:2, it says, "In hell I cried out." And Jonah 2:6, "The earth with her bars was about me forever." So the Tyndale, the New International, and other commentaries point out that Jonah himself was at the gates of hell, and it was literal bars and gates. That's the current hell, or Sheol, or Hades, which is down deep in the earth, not the future hell, not the lake of fire.
Okay. And number six, why is hell so horrible?
Well, again, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and what he did in the preparation was, you see, James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of light." So all the good we enjoy in life isn't automatic. It comes from God. So he prepared it by withdrawing his goodness or his attributes. So hell is dark because 1 John 1:5 said God is light. There's only death in hell because John 1:4 said God is life. There's only hatred in hell because 1 John 4:16 said God is love. There's no mercy in hell because Psalm 36:5 says the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. There's no strength in hell because Psalms 18:32 said it's the Lord that gives us strength. And there's no peace in hell because Isaiah 9:6 says he is the Prince of Peace. There's no water in hell because Deuteronomy 11:11 says water is the rain of heaven. So see, if God removes himself from the situation, all the good goes with him. You can't separate the good from God. It's all part of it. So if you want to go to a place that has nothing to do with God, there's a place prepared. God has withdrawn his goodness. And that's why hell is so horrible.
That's an excellent answer. Number seven, why are some Christians tormented by demons in their dreams or while sleeping or in their home?
Well, many times Christians, entertain movies that are demonic, play video games and so forth that are demonic type of games. Many have even gone to a palm reader or soothsayer or those kinds of things. Or they have artifacts in their home that are cursed objects, as Deuteronomy 7:26 says, not to bring it into your home or you'll be cursed like it. So they might have it as something in their home that they don't even know about that's opened the door to the demonic realm. And so they're seeing demonic things, they're getting dreams and influenced by demons.
Yes, so, and sin, of course, would open the door.
Right, and any sin they've been involved in, not repenting,
Yeah, they're practicing.
Unforgiveness and things like that. They need to close the door to those things and, to get the devil out of their home and out of their dreams.
That's a good point. Okay, Bill, can a person be blotted out of the book of life?
Yes, a person can. Psalm 69:28 says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Exodus 32:33 says, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. That's God speaking to Moses. Revelation 3:5 says, he that overcomes, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. And then Revelation 22:19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So that's scary.
Your name can be stricken. That's very clear.
Yes. And there's other verses also. That's just to give you some.
Okay. Well, but a Christian can have assurance of their salvation. They don't have to be in fear if they're following the Lord and walking with him, that their name's going to be blotted out
of
the book of life.
No, if they're walking with him, they don't have to have that fear. 1 John 2:25, many other verses talk about we have assurance of our salvation.
Okay. And is it wrong to get a tattoo?
You know, this is not a big issue, and I know many people have gotten them. But if you're just going to go strictly by the scriptures, Leviticus 19:28 says not to get any marks on your body. And the word marks there is the word tattoo. So there's only one verse, but again, if you're going to take it what it says, it's just a good idea not to do it. If they've done it, it's okay. You're not going to go to hell for it. You're not going to suffer for it. It's just something we should avoid. And so I don't think anybody should be condemned for getting one.
No.
But if you're considering getting one, I would choose to just believe what the scripture said. Even though there's only one, I'd rather just obey it.
Sure.
And not get one.
Sure. And sometimes people, Christians have put tattoos that might say something scriptural or about Jesus. If I had a tattoo that had a demon on it, I think I'd want to get that removed.
Right.
That's me personally.
Yes. If it's something godly, then that's fine. But up front, I would just say I would avoid it.
Yeah. Just going by the scripture. Okay. Thanks, Bill. And then number 10, how do we know the soul is eternal?
Well, Genesis 1:26 says we're made in God's image and God is eternal. So man is eternal and will live in one place or the other. But listen to these verses. Psalms 26:9, David said, gather not my soul with sinners. So he's saying he doesn't want to be gathered where sinners go after death. That means you would still exist. Psalms 49:15, God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol. Isaiah 38:17, thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of destruction. So he's thankful that he's delivered from the pit where people go that deny Jesus Christ. Job 33:28, he will redeem his soul from going down into the pit. Proverbs 23:14, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Psalms 55:23, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Psalms 9:15, the heathen are sunk down into the pit. I'll skip that one. Isaiah 14:9-10 says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They will say, art thou become weak as we? Now here's people in hell speaking. So they obviously still exist. Their soul exists after they're dead. It says the same thing in Ezekiel 32:21. They shall speak out of the midst of hell. And one last verse, Proverbs 9:18 says, her guests are in the depths of hell. To have guests, you have to have people. There's other souls there. So that indicates the people are alive. Their soul exists forever.
Yeah, those are really good scriptures to show that there is an afterlife and we're going to exist in either heaven or hell.
That's right.
And okay, I know you touched on this, but this is a question, and maybe you have some scriptures for this. Is it wrong to see a palm reader or a psychic?
Yes, absolutely. God tells us to forbid that. It opens our hedge, opens ourselves up to the demonic by doing that. And it says so in Leviticus 19:26, Leviticus 20:6, Deuteronomy 18:10, and 18:14, 2 Kings 21:6, and 2 Chronicles 33:6.
So if somebody has done that and you're a Christian now, I would repent of that and ask the Lord to cleanse you and forgive you of that activity, just to close the door on anything demonic in your life.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and then I've got another question here. How can you be happy in heaven when a loved one didn't make it?
Well, that's a good question. You know, this is not an easy one to answer. We don't know exactly what God's going to do, but there are some scriptures that indicate a possibility. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 10:7, I'm going to skip that one. Psalms 34:16 says, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So God can cut off the remembrance from the earth. Job 18:17, the memory of him perishes from the earth. Talking about the wicked man or the man that just doesn't receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Psalms 31:12, I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. Psalms 109:15, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Again, cutting off their memory. Deuteronomy 32:26, I will make the memory of them to cease from among men. That's an interesting verse. Isaiah 26:14 again, and make all their memory to perish. And so there's more of these verses, but that just gives you an idea that it's possible that the Lord could just erase them from our minds.
So they'll be forgotten.
Okay. Which is sad.
It is sad, but at the same time, if you're in heaven remembering them, you would be in torment.
Right. So that may be how God's going to deal with it. We don't know for sure, but that is an indication.
Okay. One last question today. Are aliens real?
You know, no, I believe they're not. There's no scripture in the Bible that even indicate life on any other planets or anywhere else. And Jesus is focused on us, on man. He died once for man. And but, you know, I think people that see these things, they're really seeing something, but they're just not seeing aliens. They're seeing demons. And in Ezekiel chapter 1 and all through there, it talks about the cherub and seraphim angels that look like a wheel spinning within a wheel. That sounds like a UFO. So I believe these satanic beings appear sometimes into our atmosphere. And then people see them and they think it's an alien, but it's not. It's just a demon.
Or a UFO, the wheel spinning within a wheel. That sounds like a UFO.
Right. Exactly. Oh, that's what I meant. Right. So that's what they think they're seeing as a UFO.
Yeah, that's good.
Right, but they're not. So
they're demons.
They were demons.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up today.
I know that there's many more questions, but we'll have to do that another time. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.